Okay, so this is the topic Nisa wanted to do, so we'll do it. Swimming on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So we're not going to do all these, but when I was, you know, looking around who gave, so Ari Leibowitz had given a shir, and sometimes, or most of his halacha shir, and what he does is he provides on Yahud Torah, his outline, matched up to the sources. So I figured even if we don't get through everything, you have it. I added some sources here and there, but I used the basic things, so at least you have this, you know, outline there. And then, you know, what we get through, we get through. So, so there is this idea out there that you cannot swim on Shabbat, right? And the question is, where does it come from, and what does it actually mean? Is it true? So, if you look at the original sources for it, the Gemara does say in Beit Salamid Vavam Abed, V'lo shatin al pnei hamayim, gzira shemayaseh chavit shel shayatin. That doesn't have all the sources you might have to share, but at least you have the outline there. So it's, right, you don't swim on the water because you might make a life, not a lifeboat, a lure raft. Yeah, like a, yeah, some sort of flotation device. You go swimming, so then it's aser. Now, so this is like the main Gemara that everybody quotes, and right, Rashi clarifies, chavit shel shayatin, kli shel guma, she'orgino tavosin kimin chavit aruka, umedin bo vashud, it's some sort of, you know, you weave together, you know, pieces of whatever, right? And it floats, and you learn how to swim using it. So, Tosfot quotes from Rashi, a little bit different than gears. So that we have that it's shalokhan kanim, osin kamin chavit, right? It's really a raft, right? You take multiple wooden slats. And he, you know, he argues on this this interpretation and gives a different one in the second one. He says maybe it's not wood, maybe it's made of like clay, whatever it is, it's some sort of flotation device. Now, if you just had this Gemara, so this would be a very limited Isser. First of all, because the Isser seems to apply only to rivers, right, to bodies of water, and not to a contained body of water like a pool. Now, So presumably, it seems like they only used it in that context. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean it would be mutter, right, for two reasons, right? Meaning, if you just said that, you might argue that in a pool, it's mutter, because clearly they only used it, this was talking about in a river. Now, that doesn't necessarily help you for a few reasons. One is that in many Yisurim Drabanan, they apply even when the reason doesn't apply, because you need to uproot the Xera formally. Now, Ray Leibowitz doesn't mention it, but I put it here from Ray Schwartz, same one we were just mentioning. Ray Schwartz in his share notes that even if you would say that in the time of the Gemara, it should have been limited to a like a river because people didn't use flotation devices in pools, right? Like, they didn't really have pools and go swimming. They had maybe like a mikveh or a, you know, like a little thing where they would just cool off. And so there they weren't using flotation devices. We do use flotation devices in pools. And therefore, if this was all it was, right, if that's all it was about, so then, you know, presumably that would be a reason to forbid in the modern context more, right? It's the way, you know, Tosfot says you're allowed to, you know, clap nowadays because we don't know how to fix our musical instruments. And the Aruch HaShulchan responds, well, yes, we do. I mean, maybe in Tosfot's time you didn't, but now we do, right? Now anyone who plays guitar or right, knows how to fix the string, right, with Zemach HaPatish, right, so right. I mean, every time you're going to try, even if you think you can permit things based on the gzera, so you know you still have to be open if the rationale returns in a certain sense, and if the rationale were based on it was based on the possibility of making this flotation device and using it. So it might be that nowadays you really wouldn't be allowed to in a pool. Okay, but yeah. There could be. Yeah. Right. I think it probably depends on how permanent it's meant to be and things like that.
Like if you're
going to
undo it on
stuff,
probably could, right?
But I mean, like, the way it's meant to be used, right?
I'm thinking about,
like, cool flotation thing. Right. So, it's probably going to depend on, like, how it's supposed to be used. I have to look it up. Okay. So if you look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Mem, you see Amar Abedera, Anachazid Rabbi Avoh Deshat Bam Bati, V'lo Yoni Yakar Yilo Akar. I saw Rabbi Avoh that was sort of floating in a pool, and I didn't know if he picked up his legs or not. So the Gemara says, Pshita Lo Akar. Obviously he didn't pick up his legs. Titanna Lo Yashar Adam Brebrecha Milayamayim Vafilom Edem Chatzer. Because you're not allowed to swim in a stream, even if it's in your yard. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha ha delit le gidude ha delit le gidude. Right. So this is where the Gemara in Shabbat starts to clarify what is this prohibition that we just saw in Beis Da about not swimming. Right. What does it apply? And the Gemara puts a limitation on it. Now, you see a few things here. First of all, that whatever is prohibited here, it has something to do with picking up your feet or picking up something, a car. So what does that, and the second thing is that whatever this prohibition is limited to something called it's like you do there is, or lit like you do there. Now what do both of those mean? What does this tell us about this prohibition to swim? So Rashi says that, that akar means to really lift up your feet. And the problem is because then it looks like you're swimming, and swimming is the problem. But he thinks that if there's a rim, then it's mutter, right? And this is where they get the idea that not just misvara, should it be mutter in a pool, l'umat a river, but that's what, according to Rashi, the Gemara is actually saying, that if there's gidude, like a rim, meaning the thing you're swimming in has a rim, it's a kli, so then it's permitted to swim, which again, according to Rabbi Schwartz, that might not be true nowadays, because if the whole reason is you don't use flotation devices in a pool, so nowadays you might, so maybe it would be more machmir. But again, he didn't find this anywhere. He threw this out, misvara. But that's how Rashi understands this sogya. The Rif, on the other hand, understands it differently, and this is quoting the Beit Yosef. And he says, Arif Katav Bilashonazet Tanur Rabbanan, he quotes the Gemara. And he says, what does it mean? The Rif says that's not what's going on in here, here at all. Rather, as the Ron clarifies, he doesn't think akar, lo akar means your legs. He thinks akar or lo akar means are you removing the water when you swim. So if there's a rim, the water stays inside of the pool, and therefore it looks like a pool and doesn't look anything like a river. But if there isn't, and therefore the water is splashing out over the sides, so then it's too similar to a river. And that's what the Ron writes. Shehu mefarish akar v'lo akar l'inyan hamayim k'shein ne'akarim li'otin chutz l'brecha mikri akar v'asr mishum d'dami l'nahar v'evichal gzera d'ein chazal b'nei hamayim. So what you get here is, right, is the following. You have the Gemara in Beitza, which tells you you don't swim because you might make a raft. The Gemara in Shabbat limits that to something with Gidude and something with Akar. We don't know what that means. Two possibilities. Rashi says what that means is, A, swimming is defined as picking up your feet, and B, the only thing that's usher is swimming in a river and not in a pool. The Rif understands it as no. He also thinks there's a distinction between a river and a pool, but he thinks the distinction is not just whether it's a kli or not, it's whether you're kicking the water over the edge. If you're kicking the water over the edge, so then it's not a self-contained pool, and it's similar to a river, and therefore part of the gzera. However, if it has like an edge and has a rim and the water doesn't really come out, the water stays inside, so then it is indeed permitted. Ber Moshe has a tshuva. Right, has like a very technical question, which according to Rashi, that the definition of something is picking up your feet. Right, so what does it mean that Rabbi Avohu said, I saw him swimming, but I don't know if he picked up his feet, if the definition of swimming is picking up your feet. So he says, oh, maybe he was far away. It looked like he was swimming, but I don't know what he's doing. Okay, I mean, fine. Now, what's the halacha? So Shulchan Aruch quotes, like the Rif, that Ein Shatan Al Pnei HaMayim, Afil Brecha Shavchat Seven, Ein Shamayim Ne'akarim, Yosim Chutz LeBrecha, Dami LeNahar. He postulates like the Rif, that the problem, that Akar means to kick water out of the pool, and therefore says that any time you have any sort of pool with a rim, or a chater with a rim even, right, like a dugout in pool, but it has a rim, so then it's going to be permitted. Right, that's the position of Shulchan Aruch. The Ber Halacha notes that according to this, so definitely according to Rashi, and probably according to the Rif as well, all of this is true in a, so it's only permitted, rather, if you're in a chatzer, right? Like, it has to be that this pool is in a contained, area, because if it's in a Rashid Arabim, you have a separate problem, which is that the water is now going to be, right, moving around Arba Amot and Rashid Arabim, so this has to be in a private domain. Okay, that's probably true according to everybody. What's an infinity pool exactly? I don't know. He says an infinity pool is therefore problematic.
It's a pool that, like, creates waves in it. What? Right. It's just a pool that has, like, glass on it, and it's glass pool.
Wait,
and
no, what?
I think you have a
wave. No. Okay, I don't know exactly what he...
Okay, I think it's a pool on, like, multiple levels.
Oh, maybe, right, because then there's no, right, then there's dafka no gidude, right, that's what it is, it's meant to look like a rip, like it just continues, yeah. Right, that's the whole point, right, according to that, that, I think that's right. Okay, now, and again, the Mishnah Berurah clarifies further that obviously this means you can't be in a place where it's going to, you know, make the water go into Sarabim. Okay, fine. So basically, if we just stopped here, what would you say, right, is swimming mutzar on Shabbos?
Yeah.
You say probably, yeah. Right, meaning, again, to summarize, right, the Gemara says don't swim. Then the Gemara in Shabbat clarify the Gemara in Beis says don't swim because you might make a raft. The Gemara in Shabbos clarifies something about that's only true if Akar and Itlay. Rashi says that means that swimming is defined as picking up your feet. If you don't pick up your feet, then it's mutter. Fine. But if it has a rim, meaning you're in any sort of pool, then it's going to be mutter. The Rif says that it's about whether you splash the water outside of the pool, but if you're not splashing the water outside of the pool, or it doesn't normally splash, you have a rim, so then it's permitted, otherwise it looks like a river. Either way, Mishnah Berurah clarifies that it can't be in Rashid HaRabim, because then you're carrying potentially, fine. But
does the ocean count as a Rashid HaRabim?
Or a Carmelit, so at least also be the Rabbanan, right? It's not a Rashid HaRabim, but it's a Carmelit, you still can't carry. But if you just stop there, you would say, okay, I mean, so you can't go swimming in the ocean, right? You can't go in a natural body of water, but if you have a pool in your backyard, right, or an indoor pool, or I don't know what type of pool you have. Does anyone have a pool?
A fancy one. I go to my neighbor's
pool. There you go. You're in a neighbor's pool, so then it'd be fine. Right? Yeah, whatever type of pool, it would sound like it is. Right? It's permitted. Right? So why is it that everyone, right, assumes not that way? So, Yalkut Yosef, Kedar Kobra Kodesh, and I gave you the whole thing. If you want to look through it just to get an idea of how long it is, but if you look, this was not in Rabbi Leibowitz's original thing, but here, you can see, Yalkut Yosef, hey, just you can see how long it is, I won't read it all with you, you can take mine when I'm done, right? But it's this page, this page, this page, and that page, he gives 9 different reasons why swimming might be usher, but then he goes through, right, 9 potential reasons, and then he goes through whether it is in fact, oh, so you can, I guess, share.
The most common sources that you don't have are that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. I'll give it to you. Or I can also, I'm in the middle of recording, so I can't WhatsApp it to you. But So the Yalkut Yosef goes through it, but you do have it in the summary. He puts the summary there. I'm not going to read all of it, but I'll take it from the Yalkut Yosef. So the Yalkut Yosef says, right, Yesh Ladun Mitzat Tisha Inyanim. Here's his nine, okay? So I'm going to run through them, but in all of them, he doesn't find them compelling. So, right, he has nine possibilities, but then he negates most of them. So he says, one, he named Mitzat Yisurah Hit Amlut B'Shabbat. One is there are limitations on exercising, especially exercising that's going to cause sweat, right? So that's a reason to forbid. However, the Yalkut Yosef, what is he going to himself? What is he himself going to respond with? So he says, therefore, right? It's not just that you're sweating. First of all, most people so doing like a light, relaxing swim, therefore, is not that. He said it's parallel to like the Mishnah Berurah, who says that you can take a walk for exercise, right? As long as it's not heavy exercise, that's not a problem. And if you look at right, Avram and David Stav, probably the opposite order, father son, so David and Avram Stav, published an article that it's not true according to all Rishonim that exercise is usher if you enjoy the process itself, right? I mean, the Gemara has an Isra called Isra Yitamlut.
Okay.
And the
which?
Darabanan. No, it's Darabanan. It's an Isra Darabanan. So he says, first of all, that it's possible that it's usher because of exercise. But on the other hand, if you're doing like a relaxed swim and it doesn't look like you're doing heavy exercise, so we permit it, just like we permit a light walk. So that's one possibility, which he then negates. And again, you have the outline here. I'm not like going to read all of it. I just put it on. So second attempt is what we just saw is the issur of swimming, right? And he says, well, that's great, except it's probably not usur as we've already seen. The main issur of swimming probably doesn't apply to our swimming for all the reasons that we already discussed, because you're in a pool, you're not in a river, etc. Three, you've probably heard some of these. Squeezing out your hair. Right, you're going to get your hair wet. You're going to squeeze it out. He says that's great, except the Gemara says explicitly that hair doesn't absorb, and therefore there is no issur sita with hair. So that sort of creates a problem. Now the Rambam does think that it's usur midirabanan. The Rambam does think that it's usur midirabanan to squeeze out your hair on Shabbat. But he says that's true. But as all the Acharonim note, why then is it mutter go to the mikvah or something like that? Well, the answer is because even if you think it's usur midirabanan, that means it's usur to actually squeeze out your hair. But it's not usur to do something that might lead you to squeeze out your hair because that's zera l'gzera. Right, so even if you possibly the Rambam, then squeezing your hair is derabanan. What you conclude from that is that you can't squeeze out your hair, not that you can't do things that lead you to squeeze out your hair. And therefore, he says, that's probably not a good reason. So even if you're going to be machmir that you're not allowed to squeeze out your hair on Shabbat, midirabanan, that's no reason to forbid swimming. Right, and the way we know in the Gemara that it's not a midiraisa is because it talks about a case of a woman carrying oil in her hair. Right, that's the way she would do it to not violate the Issur D'oraita. Okay, so he said, yeah, because it's not Kedarko, and it's not going to be Svita, because it won't squeeze in. Fourth, he says, fourth possibility is that it's not just that you're going to squeeze your hair, but you're like going to rub it dry and pull out hairs, right? So maybe it's a problem of Tolesh. So he says, well, I mean, it's a davar shenu mitgavein, right? Meaning you don't mean to do it. And therefore, it's definitely not usur midaraita. And it's not only is it davar shenu mitgavein, it's melacha shen shen chogufa. And you don't mean to do it, and you're not doing it for its own sake anyway. So it's a trade derabanan. So it's probably mutter lichatchila. So, and at any rate, you're not doing it for that reason, so that's not a good reason either. So the fifth reason, which is you're going to use a towel, and then you're going to be cleaning off the towel with water, which is usher kadim milabain, And and the Mordechai says that when you wash, even dry your hands on a towel, on Shabbat, you're supposed to shake off the water from your hands so you don't put too much water on the towel because you're cleaning the towel. He said, that's nice, except we don't pass in that way. That's only a chumrah, right? And therefore, this is not usher. He says, maybe you're worried about squeezing out the bathing suit because it's going to get wet. So maybe you should forbid it for that reason. He says, no, that's not really true either. So he said, on the one hand, you might say the Gemara does talk about someone walking, right, a nida going into the mikvah with her clothes on Shabbat, right? We're there, we allow it, but maybe you'll say that it's only mutter for the mitzvah, and this is not a mitzvah. He said, yeah, except that really doesn't make sense with a bathing suit. Right? The whole thing is you might be worried you're going to squeeze out clothes to get ruined because they're wet, but a bathing suit, which is made to get wet, you're not going to squeeze it out. You just sort of like throw it on the side, let it dry in the sun or something, right? Like that, you're not worried that someone's going to do that. So his seventh attempt is maybe you're cleaning it, right? Because you're not normally allowed to put begadim in water, because simply putting them in water is usur. He says that's true, except we paskin that with clean clothes, that's not true. And at any rate, it's derech lichluch, right? You're not doing it to clean. If you're clean, right? So he says the Mishnah Brura is machmir that we try not to wet even clean clothes. He says far them are mekil. But at any rate, you know, it's not clear that it would be usur to do that. So he doesn't think at least Fardim have to be machmir on that point. His eighth possibility is there's the isser to bathe on Shabbat. The isser would be the Rabbanan to bathe on Shabbat. But he says, first of all, Shulchan Aruch says that that's only in hot water, right? In hot water, or at least warm water, not a cold pool, maybe a heated pool, right, would be problematic. Ashkenazim, the Mishnah Berurah says Ashkenazim are machmir. It's not clear that showering is in that custom, but okay, fine. So maybe a heated pool might be a problem because of Zerat HaBalanin. His ninth reason is that you might carry, right, when you get out, and he says, okay, so make sure to be dry before you walk around. So basically what Rizk Yosef does is he raises nine possible reasons why it would be usur. He says, in the end of the day, none of them are really compelling. So therefore, is it usur or is it mutter? He says, in the end of the day, he thinks for Sfardim it probably is mutter me'ikr hadin. But he thinks for Ashkenazim it's going to be usur. Why for usur? Because this is what the Mishnah Berurah quoted, was that Ashkenazim have a separate minhag from the time of Truman Hadeshen to not even take a cold bath on Shabbat. And therefore, potentially, according to Ashkenazim, it might be a violation of the minhag of not bathing in even in a cool bath, right? So that's where he ends up going. Now, right, in the end of the day, yeah, this goes on. However, after all of that, he says, even though I've now argued that it's mutter for nine different, right, that all nine possible reasons are shot down, but in the end of the day, I think you shouldn't do it, especially if you're going in with a bathing suit. Why? I don't know. Right? Not chopper stick or something, and that's what his father told him. Right? So what you're left with is Rav Avadya saying, it's probably mutter. I have nine potential reasons, none of which hold any water. Maybe the Ashkenazim shouldn't, but I still think you shouldn't do it. Right? That's what you're left with by the time you get to the end of Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak Yosef. So
basically, none of these reasons
are valid. Yes. That's basically where you get to by the end of it. So.
If you put your feet in the ocean or the river, you
What? Yeah, potentially you could do that. So what do we think, Lemaisa? Right. So let's see. Well, why is it people say this? So, and obviously at the end he says it, but this is obviously if it's not mixed swimming. If it's mixed swimming, it's also maker I did. Right. He always likes putting sort of those things in. He has that like, you know, yeah. Rizogatev does this also in like things you're not allowed to read on Shabbos. He just has like a 10-page aside there. And once we're talking about things that are not worthwhile, I'm just going to tell you why TV is always usher. Just like in the middle of whatever. So what would we say? We can look back at something in the Makara, but I put it here for you. So what would you say? So I looked around to see what came up. So I wanted to give you a little bit of a range. So I found this tshuva I put here in 30 from Rabbi Dov Liria. I'm not sure exactly who he is, but under the auspices of Chovevei, they have like I think it's called the Lindenbaum Halachic Research Institute, Mashu Kaze, something like that. I'm not really sure. But basically, they put out tshuva. They have a few people who like write halachic tshuva on behalf of Chovevei. So we're talking more like the left. Left side of the spectrum, right? So he writes a chuvane, and this is what he writes. So I put it for you in 30. He said, is swimming for pleasure permitted on Shabbat? Question, is swimming for pleasure permitted on Shabbat? So in Yalkut Yosef, Volume 2, Section 301, Ruvadi Yosef, or Yitzchak Yosef writes, it's forbidden to boat or swim in the water on Shabbat, lest one come to make a flotation device and go boating on the surface of the water. This prohibition of swimming also applies to a swimming pool. The word brecha here could mean a pond as opposed to pool. That is the public thoroughfare. Since when swimming and kicking, one could easily splash water out of the pool beyond 4 cubits. It's similarly prohibited to swim in a pool in a private domain, since when the water is splashed out of the pool, it resembles swimming in a river. However, if this pool in the private domain has a lip or border that keeps the water contained, even when splashed, then swimming is permitted. The lip frames the pool like a vessel as opposed to a river, and therefore the prohibition against swimming, lest one make a flotation device, does not apply. Therefore, it would not be prohibited to swim on Shabbat in such a pool, even as a concern that one were exercising on Shabbat. And even though it's forbidden to swim in the ocean or in a river on Shabbat, in any event, bathing oneself in an ocean or a river without actually swimming is permitted. Nevertheless, is it appropriate to desist from bathing in the ocean on Shabbat even when it's not actually swimming? Right? That's more or less what we saw from Ritzot Yosef. But then this is his analysis of it. Rabavadia's decision highlights several issues. There's a concern of hotza'a, of sending droplets of water beyond a minimum distance in the public domain. He notes that this would not apply in the private domain, but would still run up against the rabbinic restriction of swimming in a river, lest one come to make a flotation device. However, when swimming in a pool, this would not be an issue, since a swimming pool commonly has a lip. It's like bathing or swimming in a vessel, such as a bathtub, and does not fall under the restriction of swimming in a river. Ravadi goes so far as to say that in this case, even exercising normally is forbidden because it resembles a weekday activity. Even exercising, normally forbidden since it resembles weekday activity, would be permitted, either because the person usually does not do this for the sake of exercise, and even if he does it for that purpose, it's not evident to others. This means that he permits even swimming laps in a pool that's in a private domain in Shabbat. Once Rav Avadia established that swimming in a pool with a lip in a private domain is permissible, Mikra Din, the Yalkut Yosef identifies and then dismisses a range of related concerns, as we saw, squeezing water from your body, from your hair, pulling out hair, laundering your bathing suit, squeezing out the bathing suit, etc. In the end of the day, Rav Yitzchak Yosef concludes that although Mekra Din swimming on Shabbat is permitted, one should refrain from the activity. But this is where he now moves on. So he says, Ravadi's decision represents a Sephardic analysis of Halacha and clearly concludes with a preference that one not swim on Shabbat. The Ashkenazic position has a stronger foundation for prohibiting swimming on Shabbat, as the Mishnah already notes, based on two Tshuvot of Rabbi Israel Israelin, the Tshuvot HaDeshen. The Tshuvot HaDeshen prohibits all bathing on Shabbat with the legal force of Minhag that has remained in practice for Ashkenazic Jews since the 14th century. The Tshuvot HaDeshen, answering a question regarding a woman immersing herself in a mikvah, concludes that the established practice now is that everyone desists from immersing oneself on Shabbat, even for the purpose of cooling off, whether in a river or a mikvah. Maril forms the foundation for an established minhag that has the legal force of halacha for Ashkenazic practice. Ravadi himself quotes many sources prohibiting swimming in the Ashkenazic tradition. in addition to Truman Adeshim Ariel, he lists Magna Avram, Chayei Adam, and Mishneh Berurah. These Ashkenazic rabbis also weigh heavily the concerns mentioned above, squeezing water from the hair and garments. The Aruch HaShulchan also holds this position. Rav Moshe Feinstein also wrote that even though Mekara then swimming will be permitted in a pool in the private domain, since the minog has been not to immerse in water completely on Shabbat for pleasure, it is now forbidden to swim on Shabbat, even if one were to swim without clothing, which would obviate the problem of squeezing out water from the garment. Okay, so what you have so far is Rav Ovadia saying that according to Sephardi Halacha, it should be Mutzer Mekara Din. According to Ashkenazi, it's still Mutzer Mekara Din, but it's usher based on a long-established minog, plus the fact that some of the Ashkenazi Achronim were a little bit more inclined to accept the Chumrot. So, for example, the Mishneh Berurah does think that it should be usher to swim if it's going to lead you to squeeze your hair, right? The Mishneh Berurah is worried about that. So some of the Ashkenazi Achronim are, in fact, at least worried about some of those things that Rav Yisrael Yosef rejected out of hand. So after considering these issues, I conclude that according to both Ashkenazic and Sephardic analysis, there's no fundamental prohibition against swimming on Shabbat Mekara Din. According to Rav Ovadia, furthermore, there's a difference between bathing and swimming, so that even immersing oneself in a river or lake without kicking and splashing would be permitted. To me, that comes very close to the Talmudic language of one immersing oneself merely to cool off. Immersion in water on Shabbat simply is an act of pleasure. Furthermore, swimming in a pool with a lip in a private domain obviates the rabbinic prohibition of swimming in rivers. At the same time, Rav Ovadia concludes that it's best not to swim or immerse oneself on Shabbat. I believe that he says this not because he's concerned about rabbinic violations. However, I believe that he admonishes against swimming because the decision to swim on Shabbat does not reflect an attitude of Yirat Shamayim or in respect for the sanctity of the day. In Ashkenazic tradition, there's also no foundational prohibition against immersing oneself in water on Shabbat. However, since the 14th century, the minhag in all of northern, western, and eastern Europe has been not to immerse in water for pleasure on Shabbat. Since that remains a deeply embedded legal norm, the secondary concerns of squeezing water from garments and hair and laundering are weightier. My final judgment, however, must also take into account the meaning of the question itself and weigh that in today's world, together with the halachic traditions I have described, raising the question of swimming for pleasure on Shabbat points to a more profound concern. It's a question about what is my relationship to communal norms, to the authority of halacha, as it has been mediated in practice over generations. This question is about a fissure in tradition and the heartfelt, emotional, and meaningful quest on the part of many young people to find a model for exercising their autonomy while feeling that they are living within the tradition at the same time. From that perspective, we live in a time of crisis in which the meaning and values of living with a religious tradition are challenged. Increasing numbers of young people find some of the norms and traditions of Jewish life to be uncompromising. On the other hand, the general hegemony of autonomy and emphasis in the individual of the community prevents this generation from cultivating a deep appreciation and attitude of Yirat Shamayim, the awe of heaven, and the sense that we Jews build communal lives and nourish a sense of purpose that transcends any one individual. The question of swimming for pleasure on Shabbat does not resonate with the same intensity, for example, as foundational requirements of belief in Torah Misinai, or the struggles and challenges of inclusion. I gave it because I honestly did not see this in it, but I have to give you range here. Right? It does not resonate the foundational requirement of belief in Torah Misinai, or the struggles and challenges of inclusion by members of the LGBTQ community. Nevertheless, this question is symptomatic to me in its own small way of the postmodern complex surrounding the authority of tradition, the way many young people feel about halakha and its potential for structuring religious life of meaning. With these deeper thoughts in mind, an effort to make Shabbat observance and general commitment to halakha more inviting, I would advocate for a balanced position regarding swimming on Shabbat. Swimming is forbidden by Fourth Amendment for Ashkenazim, discouraged a matter for communal practice for Sephardim. This conclusion reflects an accurate reading of the sources. The question is the same time a profoundly modern one. If the asker were content with the reading of the sources alone, there's not much to discuss. Therefore, I suggest the following. Since the matter of swimming underscores communal practice, it is appropriate to offer two different conclusions reflecting Ashkenazic and Sephardic traditions. The matter of Ashkenazi halacha, based on minhag going back to the 14th century, swimming is forbidden on Shabbat. However, given that it's based on minhag and not Mekara Din, under special circumstances, a posig may rule to permit it, especially when works to address the concern of squeezing, carrying, etc. Sephardic halacha allows for more flexibility. From that perspective, were one to decide that to swim on Shabbat, one should do so under the following conditions. If one is on vacation away from the community and in an environment of great discomfort due to the weather during the summer, and one is able to be attentive to the issues of squeezing garments described above. Under these circumstances, adherence to Sfarta Kalacha can rely on the fact that there is no fundamental prohibition against immersing oneself in water on Shabbat. It's important to clarify also that with the exception of the concern carrying droplets of water, all the concerns regarding swimming for pleasure on Shabbat remain the same for Yom Tov as well. Okay, that was a bit of a mouthful. But I found it really interesting because, I don't know, maybe for me, I don't see this in this shaila at all. Meaning, right? If you ask me what you come out with, I think his basic argument is probably right, that as Rav Yitzchak Yosef notes, the Svard each, assuming, as, and you know, you've heard me on this before, assuming that you believe in a very strict division between Svard and Ashkenazim, Halacha, which, as you know, I don't really.
That's the opposite of Svard and Halacha. There's two separate Halacha systems.
Right, so you know I'm not really into this, but okay, fine. But if you wanted to go with this thing, so you would say that, or I'll put it differently, anyone who doesn't feel them themselves bound by the Ashkenazim and the Shemana Deshin, would say that plausibly there's no real Isser. Right? That's basically what comes out of Yitzchak Yosef. Yitzchak Yosef says the only reason it might be Isser, and he's probably right, is some sort of spirit of the Shabbat thing, as long as, you know, Me'ikar Adin, a lot of these are probably Mutter, but okay, you want to worry, try not to squeeze your hair, try not to squeeze the towel, things like that, avoid those things, maybe drip dry, right? You know, you're on vacation, sit by the pool until you're dry, whatever, right? You want to do that in Sephardi stock, you could probably deal with it. The opposition would be more the spirit of Shabbat. If you identify with Ashkenazi Minhagim, so then there is one more hurdle, and that is there is this Ashkenazi Minhag of not bathing at all on Shabbat, which would seem to include a pool. So it would be, therefore, also under Minhag, plus the fact that Ashkenazi poskim tend to be more partial to some of the potential prohibitions involved, even if they are dubious, right? That I kind of think is sort of a fair presentation of where it is. Now, obviously, if you're not as convinced by, you know, the strict division of Ashkenazim, Sfardim, and Hagim, then there'd be room to say that Sfardim, that Ashkenazim, quote unquote, could, right, be a little bit more makil. I know. I don't agree with his assessment. Good. So, right. So I think that's the bigger issue, right? I mean, he makes this, I don't know how he got to this being like similar to Torah Shemin and Shamayim and LGBT issues, right? Like, I mean, for him, it was like, you know, this, if I understand his analysis correctly, meaning I basically agree with him descriptively in everything we just said in terms of it's not really also according to anybody. Ashkenazim have a long standing minhag, and to the extent that you identify as an Ashkenazi, so you have a minhag not to bathe in cold water, and some quote-unquote Ashkenazi poskim are a little bit more machmir in some of the potential Isurim, even though there's a lot of room to be makil there. And Rav Avadia, if you take Rav Avadia's representative, Svardi Pesach says maybe it's out of the spirit of Shabbat, so there's even more latitude. I mean, okay, I'm fine. But, right, his take that this is just, that what's really going on for a lot of people here is like a revolt against authority or something like that. And therefore, like...
But they want to do the things they want to do. They don't care about the system of Shabbat.
Right, like, right, it's like a very, right, I mean, the way he presents it, that, right, it's a postmodern conflict surrounding the authority of tradition. I mean, right, I don't know. I don't see it that way. Look, if someone came to me and said, like, I'm giving up Judaism if you don't, like, find a heter for me to swim on Shabbat, I mean, fine, I guess. But, like, I'll be honest, I agree here with Abigail, so that's not really what's going on here. Meaning, I think that you can have, there are definitely people in this world who, like, have a problem with the notion of authority and tradition, right? But I agree with you. The problem here is more that, like, you go through the sugya, and by the end, you're not really sure why it should be usher, right? And therefore, you could oppose it simply because an educated reader of the sources could say, wait, it's not really problematic, right? This is not opposing any tradition. This is doing what we always do in sugya, which is we go through it. And if, you know, Rav Yitzchak Yosef raises 9 potential prohibitions and says, well, 8 of them are almost definitely not true. Some of them might be true, so watch out, right? Swim, but don't squeeze your hair. And okay, one of them is an actual minhag, right? That the Trumanat Deshen records, right? So I would have said that the reason that people are asking this is not just because they're rebelling against authority, but because it is, right?
It's a legitimate question.
Right, meaning it's one of those things that when you learn through it, you're like, oh, why does everyone treat it as obviously usher when, you know, I mean, I could scrape together a reason why it's usher, but it's really not obvious, right? So, you know, I really do, you know, I gave you the presentation because I, you know, again, I want to be fair, right? And give you like a range, but I don't know. In my analysis, in my opinion, there are very few people where I would say, aha, I'm going to take into account how you approach authority in general and what you say about Torah Misinai and LGBT issues, and that has something to do with swimming on Shabbat. I mean, I just don't see it as being that one, right? For me, it's a lot more of what Abigail said, which is, the question for me is a lot more, first of all, if the question that we've talked about in the past, which is, do you really believe that there's this strong distinction in Ashkenazi and Sephardi communities? And what is really the binding nature of communal minhag of Ashkenazi and Sephardi, right? We talked about this a lot last year, right? That for me is a big question, because if you really, really believe that we're Ashkenazim, so then yes, the fact that Shuman Adeshin attests to a long-standing minhag to not bathe in Shabbat, so then it would be usher. But if you have any questions about that, right, this is among the weaker minhagim, right, that would go with it, right? I'm not saying to throw it out, but I'm saying, right, the same way where, like, at the margins, we already saw last year that there were people who were ready to say, well, we're not really Ashkenazim, right? We acted the version of Ashkenazim, right? That was Roy Lamb's voluntary association, right? We're mostly Ashkenazim because we choose to be. But you're right, probably we're not really bound by it because the main category is Minhag HaMakom, not Minhag Ashkenazim, right? So that already gives you a little bit more latitude. So if someone came to me and said, yeah, I mean, I mostly am Ashkenazi, but I don't really think that Ashkenazi is really, really binding, and this is a really weak minhag, and like, could I do it? I would say, look, there's definitely room to think about it, right? Because at the end of the day, the only position that clearly forbids this is the Maharil's minhag, right? That's true. The minhag of the Trumanat Deshen that Ashkenazim don't bathe clearly would tell you can't go to the pool, right? That's true, right?
Well,
but
immersion in water.
No, because if you're doing the immersion, no, because the Ashkenazi minhag is not even to bathe, right? So therefore swimming, so you're right. But again, therefore the main question you have to ask is, are we really Ashkenazim, right? And obviously if you're identified as Sephardi, the answer to that is no, right? But even if you're Ashkenazi, the answer is, well, that is a much bigger sugya. So for me, right, the much bigger question here is, right, for me, the million-dollar question is the question that no one seems to be asking when I read this sugya, which is, okay, when you get to the nine possible prohibitions, the only one that really stands is a long-standing Ashkenazi minhag not to bathe, right? Even in cold water. That's what stands, right? That's the best. Because even if you say, okay, Mr. Brewer is machmer for squeezing your hair, fine. So then don't squeeze your hair, right? Or, I don't know, try not to get your hair as wet, right? I don't know, choose your strokes based on how much, right, your hair is going in the water. What? Whatever, right? Come up with something. I would, if that was the problem, I could say, we might not pass in the way anything you want, so don't squeeze your hair or try to make it your hair isn't wet to minimize it or something like that. Right? For me, the million-dollar question that one asks is, well, the best reason to be machmir is a Ashkenazi minhag, not to bathe. But if you don't, right? And therefore, the question you have to ask is,
what is
bathing? Well, no, totally immersing yourself, fine, is, are you, right, is what is...
Well, are you Ashkenazi, or do you hold by that?
Correct, right, it's some version of that, right?
What?
We did that last year extensively.
Yay.
We need Chazara on this.
Yes.
Maybe, right? But that was, right, I mean, for me, that's the big question here, right? Because at the end of the day, right? Because in the end of the day, right, when you peel it all away, of the nine possibilities, that's clearly the strongest. And even that is not halacha. That's, right, that's at least a clear minhag, right? Yeah.
I think most people will shower on Yom Tov.
Right. So
wash their hair, and and then just be careful about
it. Correct. So showering, when Moshe argues showering, I did give you that. The showering might not be the same, right? Might not be have the same thing.
Because you're not, like, submerging.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're going to say the first issue is, like, hair.
Correct. No, if the hair was, issue is hair, you're right. If the issue is hair, then it would be problematic. Correct.
That doesn't even make sense. I feel like the only issue could be
hair. Well, no. I agree with you. I think at the end of the day, you're right. Meaning, first of all, the squeezing of the hair is very not clear. Second of all, yeah, you're right. I think a lot of folks who say you can shower on Yom Tov, right, clearly they're not really worried about it, or they're not worried about it if you try to avoid the problem, right? They tell you not to squeeze it actively, right? So you could do that. Now, they might say, well, showering on Yom Tov is more of a need, so I'm willing to risk it, and for swimming I'm not, but, right? Now, I would say in terms of it's the spirit of Shabbos thing, so again, that's really subjective, right?
As a response to this person, though, who's talking about how, like, young people's attitude towards swimming on Shabbat and the spirit of Shabbat, like, really against, like, all of Torah ever, is that I think learning through this and then, like, going swimming on Shabbat and making sure to be careful about all the things that, like, Rav Avadia talks about would make me appreciate Shabbat more.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I've said this before. I like, this is something that I got from Judah and Shana Goldberg. They have an article they co-wrote. And I really do agree with them, right? They said, you know, you really got to think in halacha. Or they sort of write an article where they compare halacha, I might have mentioned you before, to like movements in medicine from paternalistic medicine to more patient-centered medicine with informed consent. And they say, right, one of the things that moved that was the belief that one is that sometimes you get a better decision, objectively speaking, when the patient's knowledgeable, because they'll force you to get a second opinion, they'll push back. But the second is that even if you end up with a worse decision, there's inherent value to a life lived according to autonomy. And they said the same is true of halacha, right? Some people view psak as basically the job of the poseg is to tell you what to do and get you to do as many right things as they understand it as possible. But maybe that's not how you think about halacha, right? Maybe the right thing to do is to make sure that everyone is living as thoughtful a halachic life as possible, even if that means they don't necessarily agree with you and they do what you think is wrong, but they did it because they went through the sugya, right? So, you know, like, I think you're right. It's possible if you went through the sugya and said, you know what, I don't think it's aser. I do think I should take care of these things. And then, you know what, spirit of Shabbat, you know, is a bit more subjective, and I think that it might be, and, you know, or I think, right, it's at least something you have to consider. Yeah, Brooke.
I mean, honestly, I think it's, to me at least, it seems like more of a practical thing. Like, you tell someone, oh, you can swim on Shabbos, but you need to follow these specific halachos, and then that turns into, well, we're already in the pool, you know, you're having fun, and...
No, you're right, you're right, and that, so I think some people really... You know, I think you're right, and some people will definitely... think that way. I think you're right.
There doesn't seem to be any of the reasoning given here. And like, any of those reasons that you've read before. Like, you can carry it with an arrow, maybe you shouldn't allow carrying with an arrow because some might look out the arrow. Well, I mean, I think it's more just like, flashing, for example, is very natural. That's something that happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, now look, I gave you the Antonini Halacha. Rav Malamud does think it should be he opposes it. He says because since nowadays swimming has become one of the most common weekday leisure activities, it is prohibited as a weekday activity. Uvdindachal. Furthermore, which is by the way a very interesting formulation, right? The things become uvdindachal based on how often you do it on the week. It's a very interesting
also,
formulation.
Also, treating it as a weekday leisure activity and calling it uvdindachal.
Yeah, well, this is a translation, so I don't know what to tell you with it.
Okay.
He says furthermore, there's a concern that after swimming, people wring out their bathing suits. Moreover, it's improper to waste one's time on Shabbat with leisure activities instead of dedicating it to Torah study. So even though technically one may wash the body in cold water, the Ashkenazic custom is to be stringent out of concern that one may wring his hair upon the water, or leaving the water, or might carry a 4 amud rishon rabim, or the one might come to swim. However, even those who are stringent regarding Shabbat agree that Yom Tov, one may bathe the entire body in cool or cold water. One who does so must be careful not to wring out his hair with his hands. He must dry off the towel instead, fine. Some write that even when using a towel, one must be careful and to be gentle in drying off. I did not include the Ashkenazi custom craving bathing in cold water in the main text because it rarely arises and applies only to those few individuals who normally bathe for pleasure in cold water. In contrast, there is an element of anguish involved. If there's an element of anguish involved, we are lenient about washing in either cold or hot water. Nevertheless, it is clear that Ashkenazi custom forbids swimming in a pool. While it's true that Sephardic custom follows the letter of the law and permits both bathing in cold water and swimming in an enclosed pool in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, nevertheless, it seems that a swimming in a pool should be prohibited even for Sephardim. This is because people generally swim in swimsuits, and there are serious concerns that they might wring them out. Furthermore, in the past, the entire leniency of swimming in a pool was relevant only to the uncommon case of individuals with a small pool in their yard and would float around in it for a short while. In contrast, pools built today are meant to be used for extended periods. Because swimming in a pool is a normal leisure activity, it's considered a weekday activity. And swimming on Shabbat were permitted, people would waste time they use for learning Torah, and they miss out on key aspects of Shabbat. So this is a very interesting formulation. Right? Right? Which is, right, he comes up, so first of all, he's, Rav Malamud is more machmir and actually is concerned about some things Rav Yitzchak Yosef projects in terms of wringing out hair and even wringing out the bathing suit and things like that. But this is definitely the most interesting of his, where he puts more formal language on why it's against the spirit of Shabbat, right? Rav Yitzchak Yosef was like, it's probably much best not to do it, right? If you're a Shamayim, right? Rav Malamud says no. Right, his chiddush is that it used to be that people didn't really swim for leisure. They sort of like went in, cooled down, came out. So therefore, it wasn't really a weekday. It was like, you know, throwing water on your face. It's not a weekday activity. But now, because people spend long time on it, right, long time swimming, it's an activity, right? And therefore, it's dovdin dechol. And therefore, it's really usser. That's an interesting formulation. I don't really know what to. Right. What? So I don't know, right? So it's a really interesting formulation. So look, this is what the lay of the land is. Mikrajin, is it usher to swim? Like, Daraita? No. Darabanan? Probably not, right? Are there potential concerns of leading to various prohibitions? Maybe, but each of them could be negated, right? The question of squeezing hair, the question of wringing out the bathing suit, all that. Some poskim are machmir, and you saw Mishabur is a little bit machmir. Rav Malamud does seem to be machmir, more me'ikar hadin on some of these, but there's definitely room to get out of those. Definitely the two strongest reasons, therefore, by the time you get to the end, is that people are forbid, are. If you identify as being Ashkenazi, so then you have the minhag not to be, right? Fine. For me, the question that no one's asking is, what does it mean to be Ashkenazi, right? And therefore, what would it mean to be bound by that minhag? That's really the question. Now, of course, if you do identify as Ashkenazi and follow Ashkenazi Psaf and Hanami, right, you are within the world of those people who take this minhag of the Shemona Deshen seriously, obviously. But as we've talked about in the past, that's a really, really big question of how we got to that point. But okay, if you assume that you are there, so then it would indeed be problematic, at least under that minhag. How much leniency would you have under that? Maybe not so much, because it's a pretty long-standing minhag. Again, assuming that you hold your beholden to these nagim, et cetera, and then you've got to figure out if they're extenuating circumstances and the like. Now, again, this is all in a cold pool. In a heated pool, then you really might have zeret habalanin.
When it says cold, it just means, like, you're not adding in. Like, you have water that's outside.
Yeah. Right, I mean, not a heated pool, right.
Okay.
Yeah, not a heated pool.
Like, not, I mean, heated by...
No, but you're not heating it on Shabbos. You have it running all the time.
Okay, but if you have, like, a boiler on.
So you can have it on.
Yeah, but in general, you're not allowed
to use it. Let's just add water to it.
Okay. Wait. Correct me if I'm wrong. What is your house? Like,
no, if you have a boiler in your house, what?
And it's like running. You can't use it on top.
No, but if you... Some people turn it off, right,
yeah.
So no new water comes in.
Yeah,
right?
But instead of heating up new water.
But right, because the reason is because our boilers will explode if they come empty. So every time you use water, new water comes in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main problem with the boilers.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's why in Israel, right, like a lot of them are Dut Shemesh, and Rav Shlomo Zalman went back and forth in his Chuvot, in the different varieties of Shmir Shabbos Gel Chasa, of whether you're allowed to use hot water that was heated by Dut Shemesh.
Because the
halach on Shabbos is that you're not allowed to use things that were heated by Toldot Chama, but yet you are by Chama, right? Right, you know this? Right, there are things that are heated directly by the sun, you are allowed to use on Shabbat,
okay.
Right? But things that are heated by things that were heated by the sun, you're not, because it, right, ironically, because it looks like it's heated by fire. So the question is, which is Dut Shemesh? Right. So that's the question: how do you define Dud Shemesh? It's sort of weird that way, and that's why it gets a little complicated. Okay, but like I said, so the best reason to forbid, quote unquote, is if you identify, however you define Ashkenazi, so then you have this Ashkenazi minhag of not bathing. Fine. Again, all this is an inside pool, right, indoor or pool in the backyard and not heated and things like that. If you're not Ashkenazi, let's say, so then you have these two different formulations. You have Rav Yitzchak Yosef, who seems to say, like, well, technically it's not really usher, but like, Yari Shamayim, not in the spirit of Shabbat, which sounds like a bit flexible. Like, it's not the best thing to do, but, right? It sounds like there could be room to make it. Right? But then Halacha takes it farther, and he says, no. Even the more makel position is only when the way people swim is to cool down, right? And it's just like a in and out thing, you know, you cool down, you get back to life. But where it's an extended activity.
What if you're talking Torah?
Talking Torah while swimming. There you go. I don't know. I honestly, it's a very interesting formulation over in the whole, right? That it's not things that we do sort of quickly, but it's things we do for a long time. According to him, therefore, it's like really usher, like because of Ovdin Nechal. So what does that mean, lahalacha? I mean, I don't know what to tell you, right? Like, definitely, I think Ashkenazi poskim in general will say it's problematic because, right, for whatever reason that Ashkenazi poskim identify as Ashkenazi, right, if you do, there is this longstanding minhag, right? I mean, there is, right? There's no denying that. If you don't, right, if you're Sephardi, so then there seems to be a little bit more room. Obviously, if you're doing it, the poskim seems to say, even if it's not technically problematic to squeeze your hair or things like that, you know, you should try to avoid all those things. So on balance, the answer is, yeah, there's good reason to say that it's not the best thing to do, but usher is probably a strong word to say it, right? So you wanted to know, why do people say it's usher to swim on Shabbat? This is why, right? It's not most of the reasons you would think, right? And at the end of the day, right, the main reason to say you can't swim on Shabbat is almost definitely not true, right? I mean, the Gemara's prohibition of swimming on Shabbat is not talking about our swimming. If anything, our not swimming is, right, a remnant of an Ashkenazi minhag, right, which is from bathing and not from swimming, right? So that's really what you're left with, right? Now, that's what it is, right? That's really the sugya, right? What you do with that, again, on balance, I think the postum are machmir. But, yeah. I'm machmir on everything. That's really a bad, you know. Like, you know, I personally do take these Ovdin the whole things very, very seriously. Right? Like, you know, I'm not looking.
Do you play games much about it?
Not usually, but like,
I
personally tend to be very machmir on these things. Like, I think that even if you could eke out a hetzer for exercising on Shabbat, I don't like it. Right? I don't like it. No, I think that's fine. Meaning, for me, like, I think that it's a good thing that my exercise on Shabbat is a walk, right, as opposed to working out, right? Right? I don't want a hetzer to do that on Shabbat. Right? Like, that's not what I do on Shabbat. Right? And yes, like, when the post can say, well, you should be doing other things, like learning Torah, like, yes, when would I be doing it? When I have my afternoon chavrusah, when I learn with my kids in the morning, or, right? Meaning, you know, I revel in the fact that on Shabbat, I turn off my phone, right? And, you know, there's a lot of things that I do during the week that I don't do on Shabbat. Right? And I do think that's really important, right? So I'm not looking for kulot on these things. It doesn't necessarily mean that's why I post them for other people. Right, but I'm not looking for kulot on it. Look, a lot of these things are subjective, right? Meaning, or case dependent is probably a better word, right? So possibly, right? I mean, obviously, for some people, right, I definitely think that what counts as Shabbos dick or the right thing, right? Definitely, these more amorphous categories, even less than Ovdin Dechol, is in many cases dependent on the person, right? Yeah.
And would, like, going on, like, a
Well, I think that's right. So that was, I think, Roy Schwartz's point, right, is that you do have to wonder that does it actually make it worse, the fact that we use these types of flotation devices? You know, I don't know. It's an interesting question, right?
Other question. So showering on Shabbat, if you aren't, like, at least you're using cold water, is that, like, at all problematic?
I mean, Ramosha argues not really, right? I mean, the hair problem, potentially, if you're worried about it.
Yeah, but then you have to worry about it on Yom Tov, too. Like, why would it be any different?
No, correct. Meaning it could just be that we avoid it if we can, right? And therefore, look, like on Shabbos, I don't really feel the, look, Ramosha makes this clear. It's in Telek Dalet Shavayin Hei, here's number 27, right? That the minhag of the Truman Adeshen to not bathe, right? He says, Urakish Nechnas Letzachov, Veloshinagul Asar Gam Rechidah Shvichat Mayim. And he says, pouring water is not a problem, right? So But look, you know, on Shabbat, if I showered right before Shabbat, l'chol Shabbat, which I think you should do, right, how often do I need to shower on Shabbat? Like, yes, if I got really, you know, if I don't know, like if I was walking and I, you know, fell in a puddle of mud, right, on Shabbat, yeah, I'd probably shower, right? But like, usually, the reason, right, it's not, the reason to be makil is just, look, I don't really want to take a cold shower either, right? On Shabbat, you don't have the option of the hot shower. Right? So like, so I took a shower before Shabbos, like on Moshe Shabbos. Yom Tov, especially a 3-day Yom Tov, right? Like, I do need to shower. And you can heat up water, right? And you're right, it's not a fundamental difference, except for the fact that you can use hot water. I mean, not hot, because hot, you might get into more problems, but okay. Not freezing cold. Not cold, right? But you're right. I mean, part of it is just on the Shabbat, I don't really have the need to, because I shower before Shabbos, I can shower after Shabbos. Right? Like, I don't always shower 3 times a day. Like, you know, like...
What's up with, like, the steam thing? Like, you know...
I mean, that's part of the Gemara's issue, right? Is in Jevalon is also the issue of Sonaim. That's the thing, right? It's the same sugya over there, right? So again, I'm not saying it's mutter to swim on Shabbos, right? Meaning, I think definitely for, quote-unquote, Sfardim, there's more room to... That's probably true. Even though, as you see, Yosef doesn't like it. And Rav Lama doesn't like it even more. But again, I do think, you know, you know my opinion on this, that so much of what's missing in a lot of these conversations is the big question, which is what exactly is the strength of these Ashkenazi and Sephardi minhagim in a globalized world where we're all mixed. That for me is the million-dollar question here, because the strongest of all the reasons not to swim in Shabbat is, are you bound by the minhag of the Truman Adeshen or not, right? Right, that's really the question here. Right? At the end of the day, that's the strongest reason to say you can't swim, right? And that's really the question to be answered. And yes, Lamaisa, usually I would say, you know, I act like an Ashkenazi, but, right, as we've talked about, that's really the big question, and it's much more complicated than just yes, right? But, you know, as usual, no one really... They take it as a given that we're quote-unquote Ashkenazim or Sephardim, and then they move from there and say, quote-unquote Ashkenazi poskim are therefore going to be machmir, and quote-unquote Sephardi poskim are going to be makom. I mean, sure, that's probably descriptively true, but it doesn't really get to the heart of the matter. For me, that really is the heart of the matter, and no one really discusses it, right? They discuss it without that and take it as a given. But those are the issues involved, okay?